And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk. Serious Hockey Talkers, Serious Hockey Fans, my name is Michael Lamont, and we are brought to you by the Till the Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. The Till the Kilt Pub and Eatery, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Till the Kilt Girls. For more on Till the Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And today is March 12th, and we are going to jump right into the action with the Caps game on March 5th at the Boston Bruins. Lineup for the Washington Capitals was Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Marcus Johansson and Tom Wilson, Daniel Winnick with Mike Richards and Jay Beagle. Defense pairings were Carl Alster and Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik with Dmitry Orlov, Nate Schmidt with Taylor Chorney, and Philip Grubauer in the net. Going into the first period, Boston would score the first goal of the game at a 7-11, with Patrice Bergeron scoring his 26th of the season from Brad Marchand and Lee Stempniak. Boston would then take a penalty along with the Capitals, as both Tom Wilson and Adam McQuaid were both called for 5-minute majors for fighting at 16:40. At the end of the first, Boston was up 1-0. Shots were 9-7 in favor of the Caps, faceoffs were 6-5 in favor of Boston, hits were 15-6 in favor of Boston, and neither team had a power play. This was a good first period for the Caps. A bad bounce cost them, but overall they played well and they were very well disciplined. They need to continue playing well, stay out of the box, and get more pressure on Tuukka Rask. I didn't feel like they got enough pressure on him in the first period. Then, going into the second period, David Pastrnak was called for boarding 53 seconds into the period. Then Alex Ovechkin got a 5-minute major for boarding at 5:36, but also Brad Marchand was called for roughing at 5:36 as well. Then Tom Wilson was called for interference at 8:47. Carl Alsner would then get the Capitals on the board at 13:08, his 4th of the season from Nicholas Backstrom and Alex Ovechkin, their 44th and 19th assists of the season, respectively. And then at 16:25, the Caps bench was called for too many men on the ice, which was served by Marcus Johansson. And that's how the second period would end. Teams would be tied 1-1. Shots were 27-16 in favor of Boston. Faceoffs were 20-17 in favor of Boston. Hits were 22-11 in favor of Boston. And the Caps were 0-1, and Boston was 0-3 on the power play. Honestly, this was not a great period for the Caps. They were on the penalty kill too much, and as a result, the Bruins got the majority of the opportunities. Boston outshot the Caps 20-7 in the second period alone. The Caps need to stay out of the box in the third period, but at least they were able to get a goal to tie the game for the Caps. Then going into the third period, it was a very penalty-filled third period for both teams. At 3:20 into the third, Jay Beagle was called for tripping. Then at 8:04, John Michael Lyles was called for hooking. 14:59, Zdeno Chara was called for roughing. And then at 15:57, TJ Oshie was called for interference. At the end of the third period, the Caps and Bruins would be tied at 1. Shots were 31-26 in favor of Boston. Faceoffs were 27-25 in favor of Boston. Hits were 28-16 in favor of Boston. Caps were 0-3, and Boston was 0-5 on the power plays, respectively. Then in overtime at 2:36, Matt Niskanen would score his 5th of the season from Andrei Burakovsky and Marcus Johansson, their 19th and 22nd assists of the season, respectively, to give the Capitals the 2-1 win over the Boston Bruins. The Caps and Bruins had 30 and 34 shots, respectively. Faceoffs were 29 apiece. Hits were 28-16 in favor of Boston, and the power play was 0-3 and 0-5 for the Caps and Bruins, respectively. This was a good win for the Caps, but still a lot to clean up in their game. The Caps once again gave up the first goal of the game, and they also took a lot of unnecessary penalties throughout the game that really messed with them trying to control the tempo. And also, the Caps need to get better with their line changes. They have taken, I think, like 4 to 5 bench penalties for too many men on the ice recently, and they need to seriously fix that issue for them. So the Caps, good win. Horrible second period because they kept taking so many penalties. They need to cut down on the too many men on the ice calls that they've been getting lately, and they need to start scoring the first goal of the game. They can't go in and just do slow starts every first period, every game. They need to clean that up. So with that, we'll be back, and we're going to talk about Game 1 of the Isabel Cup Finals in the NWHL. looking for something action-packed to do on a Sunday evening, then come out to MCW Arena in Joppa, Maryland on March 6th for Maryland Championship Wrestling's Tag Wars 2K16. Come see the Nasty Boys along with WWE Hall of Famers Booker T, Jim Ross, and Jerry the King Lawler. For more information and to purchase tickets to MCW Tag Wars 2K16, visit MarylandWrestling.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. And it's now time to talk about the NWHL, which is brought to you by AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016 at the Walter Reed Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Peter Capaldi, John Barrowman, Riddle, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com. And we last night had the Isabel Cup Finals Game 1 in what was a very tightly contested game. The Boston Pride, which edge out the Buffalo Buttes in overtime with a penalty shot goal by Hillary Knight and give the Pride the 1-0 series lead in the best of three Isabel Cup Finals. And for the breakdown of the game, after an uneventful first period, 1:18 into the second period, Brianna Decker streaked down the right side of the ice and fired a backhander that hit the pads of Buttes goaltender Brian McLaughlin, but Blake Bolden would be there to put home the rebound, making it 1-0 Pride. Gigi Marvin would then double the score midway through the second, firing a shot that would deflect off of the stick of Kelly Stedman. However, Shelby Brand would pull the Buttes to within one with 2:55 left in the second to slow Boston's momentum. Then in the third period, Emily Falzer's goal at 6:18 would shift the game's momentum completely to the Buttes. With 14 seconds left on the power play, Kelly Stedman would put up a wrister past Brittany Ott and giving the Buttes a 3-2 lead. But after the Pride would go down 3-2 with 4:41 left in regulation, Hillary Knight would score the game-tying goal and send Game 1 to overtime. Then after Haley Brown was called for closing her hand on the puck in the crease, Hillary Knight would seal the deal for the Pride with the penalty shot goal at 2:29 of overtime. With that said, I just want to say, watching the game, I thought this was a very good game for the Buttes. I think the way they played in the first period and in the end of the second and pretty much almost all of the third period is the way they need to play the full game, and if they do, they will defeat the Boston Pride. I feel that their defensive game is a lot better than obviously the New York Riveters and maybe that of the Connecticut Whales, and I felt that they put up a really, really good effort. Obviously in the second period when you switch sides of the ice, and also in overtime when you switch sides of the ice, Boston dominated Buffalo throughout those parts of the game. I also feel that when Stedman scored the third goal for Buffalo to give him the 3-2 lead, the way the celebration was done to me, and this is me as a spectator watching this, I felt that they felt like they already won the game. That at that point, when Stedman scored to get the 3-2 lead, the game was won right then and there. If that's the case, you can't have that mindset. You gotta finish off the game, because Boston was able to come back. Hillary Knight was able to tie the game, send the game to overtime, and then score the winner in overtime as well. So Buffalo, I thought they played a great game. I think they need to play a better full 60 minutes, especially with their defensive game. They're really good at keeping, you know, Boston out of their zone into the walls and keeping shots to the outside and stuff like that to help out Brian McLaughlin. But at the same side, you got the Boston Pride, who have now won 9 straight games, or 10, it's like 10 straight games now, because they had a 7-game winning streak going into the playoffs. They won 2 straight against the Riveters. So yeah, this is their 10th straight win now. I think Buffalo can take Game 2. I'm fully confident they can, because of the fact that they showed last night they have what it takes to take it to the Pride. Also, this is where, as I mentioned with Kate Cimini on Wednesday night, this is where Buffalo also has an advantage on the Pride. The Pride, while having the advantage of closing out teams in the playoffs, the Buffalo Buttes have the advantage of being able to stave off elimination in the playoffs, as they've done it technically twice, with the second time them eliminating the Connecticut Whale. Or if they had lost, they would have been out. So I think Buffalo has a distinct advantage over Boston in this sense because of that fact. And Buffalo should really draw upon that and say, hey, we've been in this slot before. We can go out there and we can take it to Boston and we can beat Boston in game two, push it to game three, and we can potentially win game three as well. So that is definitely something that the Buttes need to draw on going into tonight's game. So, yeah. And then, of course, Boston, you know, they just need to be able to play their game. But with the way Buffalo plays, they're going to have to rejig their system a bit to play to counter Buffalo's defensive game against the Pride. So with that, we are going to go to break. We're going to do more Caps game breakdowns a little later on, NHL news and notes. And of course, later in the week, we will have the full NWHL Isabel Cup Finals recap. Guest to be determined at this time. Hopefully it'll be Kate Samini again, but if not, I am working on getting another guest as well. So we'll be back from the break.
Tilted Kilt Girl Brittany here. Need a place to watch the game? Come to the Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Frederick, home of the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls, come to the best-looking sports pub you've ever seen for all your Washington Capitals games viewing pleasure. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. And it is now time to take a look at the Caps West Coast portion of their road trip. Starting with March 7th, 2016, the Washington Capitals at the Anaheim Ducks. The lineup for the Washington Capitals was Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Marcus Johansson and Tom Wilson, Daniel Winnick with Mike Richards and Jay Beagle. On defense, you had Carl Alzner with Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik with Dmitry Orlov, Mike Weber with Nate Schmidt, and Braden Holtby in the net. And before I start off, I just want to say, when it comes to West Coast trips, it is always brutal. Not just for the Caps, because they're having to adjust to a different time zone, but also to us, the fans, trying to watch this game. It's a 10 o'clock start time Eastern. LA was a 10:30 p.m. start time. San Jose was a 10:30 p.m. start, is a 10:30 p.m. start time tonight. So being able to stay up for these games, it's kind of hard. You'll find that out when we go into the LA game, but I just want to put that out there real quick before I jumped into this. So going into the first period of Caps Anaheim game, 1 minute in, Ryan Getzlaf scored his 10th of the season from David Perron and Simon Dupre. And then Hampus Lindholm was called for high sticking at 4:47, and Daniel Winnick was then called for roughing at 11:27. At the end of the first, Anaheim would be up 1-0. Shots were 9-8 in favor of Anaheim. Faceoffs were 7-5 in favor of Anaheim. Hits were 23-15 in favor of Anaheim. And the power play was 0-1 for both teams. Now, this was not the best start for the Caps. The Ducks scoring a minute in does not help. The Anaheim Ducks are red hot right now, and the Caps need to play at their best if they expect to defeat the Ducks on the road. And it's very true. You know, Anaheim going into this game was on a franchise high 11-game winning streak. And then in the second period, Jacob Silverberg was called for interference at 5:43. Then Alex Ovechkin was called for slashing at 10:46. At the end of the second, Anaheim was still up 1-0. Shots were 18-18 apiece. Faceoffs were 13 apiece. Hits were 37-24 in favor of the Ducks, and both teams were 0-2 on the power play. This was a better period for the Caps, however, the Ducks are doing a great job of clogging up the ice. The Caps were able to generate really good scoring chances, but could have had more if they shot the puck rather than pass it away like they tend to do sometimes. And then in the third period, 41 seconds into the period, Andrei Burakovsky scored his 14th of the season from Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, their 47th and 26th of the season, respectively. Then at 3:07, the Anaheim bench was called for too many men on the ice, which was served by Nick Ritchie. And then at 10:24, Dmitry Orlov was called for hooking. At the end of the third period, the teams were tied 1-1. Shots were 29-26 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 27-18 in favor of Anaheim. Hits were 42-33 in favor of Anaheim. And both teams were 0-3 on the power play. Then going into overtime, Anaheim was called for too many men on the ice, which was served by Mike Santorelli at 3:20. And at 3:36, TJ Oshie was called for delay of game for closing his hand on the puck. And then at the end of overtime period, both teams were tied at one apiece. Shots were 32-28 in favor of the Caps. Faceoffs were 29-22 in favor of the Ducks. Hits were 43-33 in favor of the Ducks. And on the power play, the Caps were 0 for 4, whereas the Ducks were 0 for 3. Thus bringing us to the shootout. In the first round, David Perron would miss for the Ducks, but TJ Oshie would score for the Caps. Then in the second round, Jacob Silverberg and Evgeny Kuznetsov would both miss for the Ducks and Caps, respectively. And then in the third round, Corey Perry would score for the Ducks, but Nicholas Backstrom would score for the Caps to give the Caps the 2-1 victory over the Ducks. Now, for a game that was being billed as a Stanley Cup Finals preview, it did not disappoint. But at the same time, if you're looking at it for the Capitals have to play better. You're going up, the Caps ended the Ducks' 11-game winning streak, which was good, but at the same time, you gave up the first goal of the game in the first minute of the game, and you can't do that. The Caps, again, like I mentioned with the Boston game, you cannot keep giving up the first goal of the game, because if you're in the playoffs and you give up the first goal of the game, you are essentially handing over momentum to the other team, and you don't want that to happen. So the Capitals, they really need to work on that. They need to score the first goal of the game. They need to stay out of the penalty box as much as they've been lately. You know, just a lot of things that the Caps need to work on. So, which then brings me to the March 9th game at the Los Angeles Kings. This was a 10:30 p.m. start time. And the lineup for the Washington Capitals was Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, Andrei Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Marcus Johansson and Tom Wilson, Daniel Winnick with Mike Richards and Jay Beagle. Defense was Carl Alser with Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik with Dmitry Orlov, with Mike Weber with Taylor Chorney, and Braden Holtby starting in the net. And in the first period, it did not start well at all for the Washington Capitals. It's 3:13 into the period, Jay Beagle's called for tripping, and on that power play at 4:52, Vincent LeCavalier scored his 7th of the season from Tanner Pearson and Alec Martinez. Then Evgeny Kuznetsov was called for high sticking at 6:11. At 12:05, Jake Muzin would then give the Kings a 2-0 lead with his 8th of the season from Tanner Pearson and Tyler Toffoli. And then at 13:26, Milan Lucic would score his 16th of the season from Jeff Carter and Braden McNabb. Mike Richards and Nick Shore would both be called for slashing at 16:57. And then Mike Weber and Dwight King would both get 5-minute majors for fighting at 19:54 of the first period. At the end of the first, the Kings would be up 3-0. Shots were 14-6 in favor of the Kings. Faceoffs were 14-9 in favor of the Kings. Hits were 15-12 in favor of the Kings. The Caps did not have a power play, and the Kings were 1-for-2. I'm going to be blunt. Just blunt. This period sucked. It was not a good effort at all from the Caps. They gave up 3 goals. They took penalties. One of them costed them. They just didn't generate anything that period. It was just bad. And to be honest, it was also like 11:45 at night, so I kind of went to bed because I had to go to work the next day. Then in the second period, Tom Wilson and Kyle Clifford both got 5-minute majors for fighting at 14:40. So going into the second intermission, LA was still up 3-0. Shots were 21-13 in favor of the Kings. Caps still didn't have a power play, and the Kings were still 1-for-2. I don't have stats for faceoffs or hits because I can't decipher how the NHL does their stat sheets. It's so freaking confusing. So I don't have those. I'll have those at the end of the game. And then in the third period, Dwight King would be called for holding at 1:01 into the third. On that power play, TJ Oshie would score at 1:46, his 20th of the season for Marcus Johansson and Matt Niskanen, their 23rd and 24th respectively. Then Mike Weber would be called for holding at 4:04. Then at 11:02, Nicholas Backstrom would score his 18th of the season from Alex Ovechkin and TJ Oshie, their 20th and 22nd respectively. And then at 16:38, Dmitry Orlov would score his 8th of the season from Justin Williams and Evgeny Kuznetsov, their 27th and 48th of the season respectively, to tie the game at 3 and send the game into overtime. Caps and Kings would be called tied at 3. Shots were 31-27 in favor of the Caps. Power play was 1-for-1 for the Caps and 1-for-3 for LA. Again, I don't have faceoffs or hits because I can't decipher how the NHL has their stat sheets nowadays. It's not easy to read. And then in overtime, 2:50 into the extra period, Jeff Carter would score his 18th of the season from Milan Lucic and Drew Doughty to win the game 4-3 for the Kings. Shots were 32-30 for the Caps. Faceoffs were 37-29 for LA. Hits were 44-34 for the Kings. And power play, the Caps were 1-for-1 and LA was 1-for-3. And I'll be blunt here again. You know, I only saw the first period, and as a Caps fan, I was very disappointed in what I saw. As great as it was for them to make the third period comeback, it was still very, very disappointing to watch. I don't think, you know, and here's the thing, going to overtime, they get a point automatically. I don't even think they deserve that for how they played that game, especially the first period for what I saw. So, again, you know, I sound like a broken record, but they can't give up the first goal of the game. They got to stay out of the box. They got to, you know, play their game from the start of the game to the end of the game. And they aren't doing that right now, and it's ticking me off. So, you know, as a Caps fan, disappointed in what I saw. And, you know, when they play San Jose tonight, they got to play a lot better. And I hope that's what Trotz is telling them in that locker room and that practice. You know, you got to play better. So, with that, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to do NHL news and notes. Ladies and gentlemen, that next big convention is right around the corner, which is AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com today. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans, and it is now time for NHL news and notes. And we start off with March 5th, when Jacob Silverberg scored at 2:24 of the third period for what stood as the game-winning goal to help the Ducks improve to 18-1-1 in their last 20 games and establish a franchise record with their 11th straight victory. Then Alex Killorn scored with 42.5 seconds remaining in overtime to lift the Lightning to their 9th straight win, establishing a franchise record. And also the line of Antoine Vermette, Alex Tanguay, and Anthony Duclair combined for 9 points to help the Coyotes halt their losing streak at 7 games. Then on March 6th, the NHL announced the 2016 NHL Heritage Classic next season will feature the Winnipeg Jets and the Edmonton Oilers in an outdoor regular season NHL game at Investors Group Field in Winnipeg on Sunday, October 23rd. Additionally, it was announced that as part of the 2016 NHL Heritage Classic, legendary players from both teams will participate in a special alumni game on Saturday, October 22nd. Then on March 7th, the three stars of the week ending March 6th was announced. First star was Cam Talbot, goalie of the Edmonton Oilers. Talbot went 3-0-0 with a .65 goals against average and a .981 save percentage with one shutout to backstop the Oilers to 3 wins in 4 games. The second star was Mark Scheifele of the center of the Winnipeg Jets. Scheifele led the NHL with 6 goals in 4 games to power the Jets to 3 out of a possible 8 standing points. And the third star was Brent Burns, defenseman of the San Jose Sharks. Burns paced all defensemen with 3 goals, 3 assists, and 6 points in 3 games to guide the Sharks to a pair of wins. Also on March 7th, the Tampa Bay Lightning lifted the suspension of forward Jonathan Drouin, who plans to report to the Syracuse Crunch of the AHL. Drouin had been suspended by the Lightning since January 20th when he failed to report to a game with the Syracuse Crunch after being assigned to the AHL on January 2nd. Also on the 7th, Florida Panthers forward Jaromir Jagr had one assist to move past Gordie Howe for sole possession of third place on the NHL's all-time points list. Shane Gostisbehere scored twice to help the Flyers to a 4-2 win, halting the Tampa Bay Lightning's franchise record winning streak at 9 games. The Kings scored 5 unanswered goals, including 2 by Jeff Carter, to pick up a 5-1 victory against the Vancouver Canucks. And the Buffalo Sabres faced 2 multi-goal deficits, including 1 to start the third period, but Jack Eichel and Evander Kane each scored before Sam Reinhart completed the comeback in the shootout for a 4-3 win against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Then on March 8th, James Reimer stopped all 31 shots he faced to earn his first victory with the San Jose Sharks and help them improve the 5-0-1 in their past six road games. Jonas Gustafsson made a career-high 42 saves for his 7th career shutout, and Brad Marchand scored his 6th overtime goal of his career 10 seconds into the extra period to give the Bruins a victory against the Lightning. Then on March 9th, Arizona Coyotes defenseman Jared Tenorti has been suspended for 20 games without pay for violating the terms of the NHL-NHLPA Performance Enhancing Substances Program. Under the terms of the CBA, the suspension is accompanied by mandatory referral to the NHL-NHLPA Program for Substance Abuse and Behavioral Health for evaluation and potential treatment. Also on the 9th, the New York Islanders goaltender Yaroslav Halak will be sidelined a minimum of 6 weeks with an injury per coach Jack Capuano. The timeline would have Halak out through the remainder of the regular season and into the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, which begin the week of April 11th. Also on the 9th, the Toronto Maple Leafs and Detroit Red Wings will face off in an outdoor regular season game at BMO Field in Toronto on Sunday, January 1st, 2017, in the first ever NHL Centennial Classic. The NHL announced in 2017 the NHL will conduct a year-long centennial celebration that will feature a variety of ceremonies, recognitions, observances, and special events that will highlight 100 years of NHL hockey and also will recognize a number of milestone anniversaries for member clubs, including the Maple Leafs, who will be celebrating their 100th anniversary. Also that day was announced the 2017 NHL Winter Classic will feature the St. Louis Blues, who will be celebrating their 50th anniversary, and Chicago Blackhawks at Busch Stadium in St. Louis on Monday, January 2nd. This will mark the first appearance in a regular season outdoor game for the Blues and the fifth for the Blackhawks. And the final outdoor game announcement was the NHL 2017 NHL Stadium Series will visit Pennsylvania when the Pittsburgh Penguins host the Philadelphia Flyers at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh on Saturday, February 18th. Both teams will be celebrating their 50th anniversary next season, plus this will mark the second regular season outdoor game at Heinz Field, the first one being against the Capitals in the Winter Classic back in 2011. On March 9th, New Jersey Devils forward Tuomas Ruutu has been fined $5,000, the maximum allowable under the CBA, for slew-footing Pittsburgh Penguins forward Matt Cullen in New Jersey on March 6th, the Department of Player Safety announced. Then on March 10th, the Vancouver Canucks forward Brandon Prust won't play again this season. It was announced that it was a mutual decision between Prust and the Canucks for him to shift his focus from playing with ankle discomfort to the rest of the season to rehab and prepare for next season. Also on March 10th, Edmonton Oilers defenseman Darnell Nurse has been suspended for 3 games without pay for violating Rule 46.2 aggressor during an altercation with San Jose Sharks defenseman Roman Pulock in Edmonton on March 8th. The NHL Department of Player Safety announced, under the terms of the CBA and based on his average annual salary, Nurse will forfeit $13,924.74. And on March 10th, also, Colorado Avalanche forward Gabriel Landeskog has been suspended for 3 games without pay for cross-checking Anaheim Ducks defenseman Simon Dupre in Colorado on March 9th, the NHL Department of Player Safety announced. Landeskog is considered a repeat offender under the terms of the CBA and, based on his average annual salary, will forfeit $203,832.75. Also on March 10th, Vincent Trocheck factored on 4 of his team's 6 goals to help the Florida Panthers extend their home point streak to 6 games. Then on March 11th, defenseman Carl Gunnarsson signed a 3-year contract with the St. Louis Blues. The 29-year-old, who would have been an unrestricted free agent on July 1st, signed for $8.7 million, an average annual value of $2.9 million a season. Then on March 11th, yesterday, the NHLPA and the NHL jointly released the opinion of James Oldham, the NHL-NHLPA neutral discipline arbitrator, in the appeal of the suspension of Calgary Flames defenseman Dennis Weidman. Oldham's ruling reduced Weidman's suspension from 20 games to 10. Weidman, as a result, will be reinstated to play immediately and will be paid for the 9 additional games he had served while suspended. Weidman had served 19 of his then-20-game suspension. And he did play last night for the Flames against the Arizona Coyotes, marking his first game back since the decision. And then on March 11th, Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, Jason Spezza, and Alex Hemsky each registered a goal and an assist to help the Dallas Stars defeat the Chicago Blackhawks and push their point streak to 4 games and take over first place in the Central Division. And with his team hanging onto a 3-2 lead, Vladimir Tarasenko scored twice in the final 2:38 of regulation to help the St. Louis Blues defeat the Anaheim Ducks for their 5th consecutive victory. And now we're looking at the road ahead for the Washington Capitals. Tonight at 10:30 p.m., they will be at the San Jose Sharks. Then on March 15th at 7 p.m., they're at home against the Carolina Hurricanes. And on the 18th at 7 p.m., they're at home against the Nashville Predators. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are the Experience Hockey Talk. I'm Michael Lindemann. We've been brought to you by the Till Kilt in Frederick, Maryland, the Till Kilt Pub and Eatery located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Till the Kilt Girls. For more information on Till Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And, of course, you can follow the podcast at Experience Hockey on Twitter and facebook.com/Experience Hockey Talk. And with that, until next time, we will see you all on the ice.